successful ones throughout the downtown east side that people do come from all over the world who are looking at the leading edge of this to see how we're doing it here. We need to tell those stories. We need that to be known. Blade Runners is a great example of this. We see opportunities, building opportunities for business. Bob doing great work too. There's incredible potential here, and that story needs to be told because that potential is turning into reality. So we hope the stories cover the whole breadth of what is happening here in the downtown east side. I want to say one thing about coming back here. I hope I'm coming back here on the 25th for Open Data Day. The city, and led by Councillor Andrea Reimer, has focused on Open 3 policy, and many other cities have come to us since then and said, how are you doing this? Show us how to do this. Open data, open source, open standards, opening up everything we have at City Hall for the people to use and reuse and feed back to us so we can make better decisions with it. So you can all be part of that. And just in closing, with that in mind, I hope these weeks ahead, even with the biggest military operation, domestic military operation in Canadian history happening here, even with the hundreds of thousands of people who are here who intensify the activity in our city, we hope these are open, that there's voice for people who want to express themselves during these games, that there's opportunities for everyone to have a good time and to be heard. And this will be a fantastic time, a point in time I think all of us will look back in our lives as memorable and hopefully not once in a lifetime, but a certainly important part of what our lives are in expressing who we are to the world and hopefully seeing that reflected back. Thank you for being here. Congratulations. And thank you for your leadership and your vision to create this place. And enjoy your time here in Vancouver. Thank you.
All right, that was Gregor Robertson introducing the W2's Winter Olympic Unaccredited Media Center, which opened this morning. They are going to be having a gathering, I believe, a wine and cheese at the Press Center tomorrow night from 4 to 7 p.m. The location is 112 West Hastings, Vancouver, and you should definitely go and check it out. That's it for me on the Arts Report here today. I've ended late as per usual, but I'm leaving you with some sounds of Kid Koala, who will be performing on Friday as part of the opening of the Cultural Olympiad, etc. You should check him out. It's a CITR-sponsored show. And check me out here again on the Arts Report at CITR. You can always reach me at arts@citr.ca. I hope you have a great week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope we all survive to see the other side of this grand winter event that's happening sometime between January and March in Vancouver. Until then, take care. Peace out.
On Tuesday, February 16th, Scottish-born songwriter David Francy is performing at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. In concert, David is a singer and a storyteller. His wry humor and astute observations, combined with his open-hearted singing style, have earned him a loyal following. David Francy has released 8 crafted albums, earning him 3 Junos and the SoCan Folk Music Award. Touring with David is American ballad maker and multi-instrumentalist Craig Worth. Don't miss out on this chance to see one of Canada's finest songwriters. David Francy, Tuesday, February 16th at the Stanley Industrial Alliance stage at 2750 Granville. Tickets are available at vancouvertix.com.
Henri Rousseau and Friends by Michael Ondaatje for Bill Meissen. In his clean vegetation, the parrot, judicious, poses on a branch. The narrator of the scene, aware of the perfect fruits, the white and blue flowers, the snake with an ear for music, he presides. The apes hold their oranges like skulls, like chalices. They are below the parrot, above the oranges, a jungle serfdom with which this order reposes. They are the ideals of dreams, among the exactness, the symmetrical petals, the efficiently flying angels. There is complete liberation. The parrot is interchangeable. Tomorrow in its place, a waltzing man and tiger, brash legs of a bird. Greatness achieved, they loll among textbook flowers, and in this pose hang scattered like pearls on just as intense a society. On Miss Adelaide Milton de Groot's walls with Lily P. Bliss in New York, and there too in spangled wrists and elbows and grand facades of cocktails are vulgarly beautiful parrots, appalled lions, the beautiful and the forceful locked-in suns, and the slight, careful, stepping birds. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Audio Text. My name is J.C. Peters, and I'm happy to have you all here listening to my show this Wednesday afternoon. So today I thought we'd just keep it simple and just listen to some poetry, some of my favorite pieces that I have recorded over the year or so that I've been doing this show, and as well as a bit of a longer piece by Robbie Q. Telfer that I didn't get a chance to play a couple weeks ago when I was doing pieces from the Nerd Slam. It's longer and nobody noticed, I don't think. We were all kind of mesmerized by the poetry. We didn't realize that the poem was almost 10 minutes. So that's the piece that I'm going to play for you guys first today.
Awkward scars.
I love you.
Do you see this one? I got it from a sniper perched up by Da Nang. You see these? Sharks! Thousands of sharks! They came after me after I told them they were ugly sharks. This one's in the shape of a lady. I got it from kissing the devil in the manner of the French. And because of the storyteller and their personal brushes with varying degrees of danger, don't cut yourself. Each star will inevitably reflect their keeper's personality. I knew a kid in high school who was cut across the stomach by a bear while he was sleeping in a tent. He knew this made him a badass, and he acted like one too. Also, he was a dickhead. In addition to being a badass. Patrick, my friend, has a keloid scar where they put in one of those big metal bars through the cartilage in his ear because he asked them to do that to him on purpose. Annie, my friend, has a shimmering gash on her forearm from when she fell into irony trying to play a prank on her little sister. Each scar bearer, badass, masochist, prankster, has their stock stories they unfurl each time inquired about these individual imperfections. They are the shamans of their skin, the storytellers of their flesh, walking reminders of the pain their identity's culture has endured. Now, Vancouver, Café du Soleil, I present for your consideration my real scars. See if you can figure out just who I am. See, on my left hand, a tiny slit from fourth grade 4-H carving class. My first and last 4-H carving class, I was trying to make a cowboy hat out of balsa wood and kept slipping. helping, kept cutting the shit out of my hand. This scar is from when I was too embarrassed to ask for another Band-Aid because after my third, they started making fun of me. See, inside my right palm, a piece of pencil lead broke off when I jerked my hand away from my first and last sixth grade friend because he was trying to wipe his boogie on me. See, about my face, chest, and arms, chicken pox craters, I started getting the little poxes on vacation in Orlando, my first and last, and I thought that they were zits, so I kept aggressively popping them. I know, I'm in the future too. See, the back of my head, the roof of a bank, blew off and landed on me in the passenger seat of a Chevy Suburban. If I hadn't been slouching, I would have had my skull crushed. It was the first and last time I've ever driven in a tornado watch. It was also the first and last time a fucking bank landed on my head! See, in the bottom of my right foot, I stepped on a piece of glass while running barefoot in the snow for the first and last time. That was the joke! Run barefoot in the snow! I'm a fucking idiot! My right shin, I fell, slipped in wet paint, playing paintball for the first and
second last time,
actually. I wanted to go back and make sure that paintball was the absolute worst thing any human being could ever do with their free time.
Was it?
Turns out it is. I did the research for you, so you don't have to. That's all of them. All my inescapable stories. And you probably have a good idea of who I am now. But in those six little stories I've told 1,000 times, they've been edited to fit tiny narrative arcs, bite-sized stanzas, so I can get through them, so I can represent just who I think I am, so I can pretend to control this pile of fear I call Robbie Q. Telfer. But these aren't the stories I want to carry on my body, and they're not even the whole picture. See, left hand, carving class, never finishes or masters anything. Right palm, pencil lead, no genuine friendships. Face, chest, arms, chicken pox, always making things worse. Back of head, roof of bank, sport of the gods, bottom of foot, broken glass, fucking stupid. Right shin. I didn't get the scar from paintball. I got it from the doctors who cut my leg open and drained it for an hour and a half because I never healed from the paintball fall internally, and I was awake the whole operation, and I was holding my mother's hand crying while Greg, my stepdad, cracked jokes in the corner to keep me conscious. See, left hand, perpetual amateur, right palm, friendless, face, chest, arms, dumbass, back of head, godless, bottom of foot, dumbass, right shin. And I know that Patrick and Annie and you have other scars too, with stories attached that aren't and can't be personally resolved or publicly shared. If I could, I'd have excellent scars. Received as symbols for love lost, for those lost that I need to be reminded of, the impact they've had on my skin and its expansion into this awkward man, that the landscape of my body is exactly what it is because of them. I want to be able to say, oh, you see this canyon on my back, that's my grandparents in the ground, and you see where half of my face is missing, that's Rick, and you see where the other half of my face is missing, that's Greg. How excellent, how accurate. Have you guys seen this nature documentary? It was on again recently where, I think it's called Blue Planet. These belugas get trapped in the Arctic ice because winter freezes the sea around them. And in order to survive the season, they have to constantly loop up and down from the surface just to keep a 10-foot hole in the ice from freezing over too. There's dozens of them constantly looping all winter long up and down from the surface. Now, waiting at the opening is this polar bear, and she can see the belugas trapped in their cycle of respiration. So the entire winter, she dives in on top of the whales, digging deep into their beautiful white hydrodynamic backs with her claws, with her teeth, slicing them open, permanently disrupting their perfect smooth innocence, scarring them. And occasionally plucking them out like albino olives. She could eat a whole whale for days. Grimly, she waits there. The whales have to keep coming up for air. She's waiting there, but they have to keep coming up for air. The bear, she tears their backs, but they have to keep coming back. What I have to say, watching them die makes me a little enraged. I mean, I know I don't just give up, but only in that way that acceptance becomes its own kind of understanding. The ones who survive get to swim away, but not as fast. Not without their hydrodynamic back, no longer intact. The bear is fat from their thin pack and scarred, ruined backs, their beautiful, perfect backs. The story, the life, the Beluga's back, theoretically perfect. And my scars, my stupid stories, I'm stuck with them. The mirror speakers bleat to me daily. Remember, remember, they have to keep coming up for air. For air. For air, I am pressing the delete key and erasing the tails that fill the holes where my skin used to be. Acceptance is understanding. See, left hand, this is my grandparents in the ground now. Right palm, this is Stacy, my friend. Face, chest, arms, this is for you, Vancouver. Back of head, this is Rick, my brother. Bottom of foot, this is for me. Because I am a fucking idiot sometimes. I shouldn't forget that. Right shin. This is Greg. My other father. Half of my face. Stories are deceptions. It's true. If we, poets, tell the right ones, progress is possible. I'm only sorry my scars are not excellent. I promise more awkward accents. I promise more loss. There will be pieces of me buried and burned, scraped and scorned, and they're reserved for you because winter always comes and she's up there and she's hungry too, and counterintuitively we will keep returning to her for air because we know, we remember what the water feels like rushing through us while our symphony of muscles sings us forward, hot bullets shot haphazard about the seas, the warm summer seas swirling and tickling the cracks and crannies in our almost perfect skin. We remember, and we will remember what that feels like, and we want it again and again forever and again. Talk the bear with your being. Go back with your backs to her. Sing your underwater stories to her, you ghosts, you shamans, you canaries of the sea. Do it for Pappy. Return, return, delete, recur. You will taste excellent. Return to her. For the first time. For the last time. Thanks.
Oh, wow.
CITR News is committed to providing you with in-depth Olympic coverage from an alternative perspective. As part of this coverage, we are launching a new Eyes on the Street feature, where Vancouverites will have a chance to tell their Olympic story. We want to hear your perspective on life in Vancouver during the Games. That's why we're inviting you to be CITR's Eyes on the Street this February. If you're at an event, a protest, a celebration, or even simply on the bus, tell us about it. There are three ways to file a report. Call our Eyes on the Street hotline at 604-822-5334. Email news at citr.ca or tweet CITR News. Then sit back and wait for your report to be featured on the next edition of News 101, which airs Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. right here on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hey, we're J+J+J, and I bet you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
The sitar.
We call it that. Do you?
You should. Unless you don't like sitars.
And next up from slam poet Steve Miller, Snakes and Ladders. And next up from slam poet Steve Miller, Snakes and Ladders.
This one's for Cookie and Coach. Thanks for believing in me. He's so that guy. You know, that guy that paints such beautiful pictures with his words. Yeah. I paint beautiful pictures with my words. But no matter how many blurbs I pull from the watercolor palette of my present to cast brushstrokes over my past, the oil-based graffiti of my history always bleeds through. I'm an open book, begging for dirty fingerprints to paint my pages colorful, because behind these ivory white pearly plastic teeth, there's a 31-year-old addict who's, come on, daddy needs a new couch, gambled half his life, playing Snakes and Ladders on a smoke and mirrors game board, stuck as a solitary Monopoly shoe, rolling dice for a soulmate to part places with, trying so hard not to slip through the cracks while board walking planks over shark tanks with so many holes in my community chest, I wish I would have picked that iron when I started taking chances so I could just slide past go and smooth things. corona, sit pretty on three kids, two cars, one house, a career for life, and a queen for wife. For now, I'm more jester and less crown. Because the only thing I'm sitting pretty on is my parents' hand-me-down brown couch. And it's not fucking pretty, it's black. And I've been having so many late-night conversations with my cat. He's starting to sound kind of one-sided. Hey, buddy, how was your day?
Meow.
Are you hungry?
Meow.
You want to do something tonight?
Meow.
You want to make out? Don't get me wrong. I could write a book with all the poetic one-night love affairs I've had. It would sit at the top of the bestsellers list for science nonfiction. It's the only romance in the only romance with a history of addiction is in that far-out space beyond love's bounds. And I've been tossed in the lost and found box like, seen as bittersweet. I just feel like I'm in the last heat of the Tour de France of romance on a stationary bike and Lance Armstrong's got more balls than I do! So, lately, I've been answering the debt collector's phone calls on purpose. I've missed you. Can you hold on a second? Because it's nice to have a recognizable voice on the other end that can depend on calling me. So I sit at home and wait for the phone to ring deaf tones, hanging out on my parents' flat couch, singing the blues. Silverware, my soul dimes, hoping someday to be strip mined for the coal and not the diamond ideal that I paint such beautiful pictures with my words.
And from Afua Cooper, Africa.
This one is called it's called Africa Wailing. And it's a tribute to art, to poetry, to music, to reggae music, to dancehall, to culture. It's also a remembrance of the slave trade that peopled the Americas. Stereo Prophet threw down at Bathurst and Bloor. And the DJ ball out, yes, crowd of people, me say, me love you now. Stereo Prophet threw down in a downtown at Tequila, as 300 sing as one. Sing along with the DJ and the singer, with Sanchez and Sizzla and June Lodge and Coco T and Tony Rebel. Me love you like fresh vegetable. And Africa Wailing as Toronto get hot and black people dance communally. Heads up, backs arched, eyes watching a faraway scene, hands boxed in the air and feet and hip move in a kumina, in a naya bingi as 300 people dance together as one. And the woman with her man rent a tile, love sweet like the waters of the Blue Nile, bad in love for a while, rubber dub in a different style. And the man with the hangle connect with the triangle as the DJ leap in the air a tootsie dancer, and fire from the burning spear lick him in him head, and him grab a second mic, hold both of them I'm mouth, and him and garnet silk start to chant it out. Hello, 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 Mama Africa, how are you? I'm feeling fine, and I hope you're fine too. Africa wheeling as woman in red, green, and gold weave, and man with locks down to him feet. We all hold hands as we embark on this journey, with Freddy in a big ship, and Marcia is trotting us to Mount Zion for a healing and baptism. And we love each other, and we're gentle with each other as we continue this journey, weak and tattered, cold and afraid. Lady Saw is embarking as Oshun, burning spear, the griot from Kangaba. Do you remember the days of slavery? Do you remember? Do you remember the days of slavery? Rita Mali, an exiled priestess from Kumasi, will start a new world religion. And Africa still wailing, and we still bawling, and we still trodding. No jobs here in a Babylon, it's just pure butteration. Our men led like sheep in prison, and our sons lost on these white shores, and we still wandering in the triangle. Woman in red, green, and gold weave, man with locks down to them feet, women in shiny clothes tight like Ross, and men in basic block with enough bling, confess our love to each other as we sing with the DJ and the singer, songs etched in our memory, songs etched at the tip of our tongue, songs like, when I meet you around the corner, you make me feel like a sweepstake winner. And Africa still wailing, and we still bawling, and we still dancing, and we look down the road and see two peace care park ready for cast chain pan we again, chain round with hand, chain round with neck, chain round with foot, and we fling some lyrical stone in a Babylon bone, while Africa is still wailing, on. Thank you.
And from Elise Malton, who is a poet from Ontario, a poem about her breasts.
This poem is about my breasts. Hey! That's right. A poem about my boobs, about my titty, toppers, hooters, headlights, jiggers, jugs, twins, rat, girls, or the more wholesome of my bosom. I thought I was been friends with my breasts. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we have at times been enemies. Like at age 11, when my mother first tactfully suggested that I might need to wear a bra, I protested roundly, arguing that I would be too hot. She still tells that story at the dinner table.
Constantly updated by the bands, musicians, and businesses who refer to them as they pick locations and lineups for their newest upcoming shows. And no one's barred from contributing, since we all know fans know more about the players than anyone. So visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest major and independent event listings. And while you're at it, check out our archives and discover how closely we all work together in this community, putting on the shows you love.
You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR Vancouver. It's whatever. Hip-hop, R&B, jazz. It's whatever. Reggae, soul, mainstream. It's whatever. News, sports, and entertainment.
And I'd like to finish up the show by reading a couple more pieces from Michael Ondaatje, who is one of my favorite poets. And I do like to play some pieces that are a little bit more marginal sometimes, but he's a really lovely poet, so I'm going to read a little bit more from him. This piece is called King Kong Meets Wallace Stevens from Open Country Canadian Literature in English by Robert Lecker. Take two photographs, Wallace Stevens and King Kong. Is it significant that I eat bananas as I write this? Stevens is portly, benign, a white brush-cut striped tie, businessman but for the dark, thick hands, the naked brain, the thought in him. Kong is staggering, lost in New York streets again, a spawn of annoyed cars at his toes. The mind is nowhere, fingers are plastic, electric under the skin, he's at the call of a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Meanwhile, W.S. in his suit is thinking chaos, is thinking fences. In his head, the seeds of fresh pain, his exercising, the bellow of locked blood, the hands drain from his jacket, pose in the murderer's shadow. The gate in his head for Victor Coleman. Victor, the shy mind, revealing the faint scars, colored strata of the brain, not clarity, but the sense of shift. A few lines, the tracks of thought, landscape of busted trees, the melted tires in the sun, stands fishbowl with a book inside, turning its pages like some sea animal, camouflaging itself, the typeface clarity going slow blonde in the sun-full water. My mind is pouring chaos in nets onto the page. A blind lover, I don't know what I love till I write it out, and then from Gibson's your letter with a blurred photograph of a gull, caught vision, the stunning white bird, an unclear stir. And that is all this writing should be, then, the beautiful formed things caught at the wrong moment, so they are shapeless, awkward, moving to the clear. So that was a little bit from Michael Ondaatje. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Audio Text. Again, my name is JC Peters. You can look me up, jcpeters.ca, or just Google Audio Text. You can find it on Facebook as well. So thanks again. Have a lovely Wednesday evening, and good night.
Don't sit down.
CITR News is committed to bringing you in-depth Olympics coverage from an alternative perspective. Coming to you live Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m., we will bring you coverage of the Games, bringing you stories and interviews that the corporate media cannot and will not offer you. From the anti-Olympic convergence to the supposed sustainability of the Games, we will also be bringing you news updates every day during the Games at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Tune in Mondays and Fridays for an hour of CITR News on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts available online at citr.ca.
You are listening to The Canadian Way here on CITR FM 101.9, Cable 102, and on the internet at citr.ca. My name is Spike, And we'll be with you until 8 p.m. bringing you lots of great new independent Canadian tunes. As well, we are going to have a guest on the show today, Vern Beamish of China.